The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus continued, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to the infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like you to take a moment with me. Just pause, and you know, if you're willing to close your eyes, I invite you to do that. If not, that's okay too. But maybe look down, mostly just to avoid distractions. And just want you to take a couple good deep breaths as we prepare to enter into a reflection on God's Word. So often we come to church busy. And so I'd just like to take us a moment and just kind of take the cares of the morning and the cares of the day and put them in a little box and set them aside in our minds and open our ears and our hearts to what God has prepared for us. Thank you. Uncomfortable, huh? We're not often quiet in church, which, I don't know, it seems odd. We often interpret silence as mistake, and we kind of rush in to correct it, to end it. I think when we enter into worship, sometimes silence is a good thing. I think as we go forward, I'm hoping that we can have a few more times of silence within worship just to, just to set aside what's been going on. And because every time we come to church, a couple things happen. One is that we gather with people and people that are there for a reason, the reason being that for whatever reason, God has drawn them there. And so as you sit in worship and don't look around. But you're in worship with people that could be somewhere else, but you all have chosen to be in that place at that time, and there's a reason for that. And God, knowing that you would be here, has prepared something for you. I'm a part of that. I'm a part of delivering what God has prepared. And the scripture is, prayers are silences, music is. As we enter in this time of reflection on this passage, I thought we could take that opportunity to kind of lessen what we're carrying, particularly highlighting these last few verses. This section of Matthew 11, starts out with a really outstanding question. John the Baptist is in prison, and he has sent some of his disciples to Jesus. to ask him a question. Are you the one for whom we are waiting, or should we wait for another? Now, it's important that some of the 12 apostles used to be disciples of John. This connection between Jesus and John is pretty profound. But the question is awesome, right? Are you the one, or should we wait for somebody else? And it's in some ways, I think we can see it as a current question. Because the disciples and John are not punished for asking the question. And for us, when we have times to think, boy, is this what's been going, supposed to be going on? Have we missed something? Questions are good. I think questions are positive. We learn through questions. But that question in particular, coming from John, are you the one, or do we ask, do we wait for another? And Jesus's answer is very practical. It's like, well, don't you note the outline of my doctrine? No. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead rise. These are very practical things that God has done through Jesus. And those are the signs. Tell John that these things are happening. Again, Jesus is very practical when it comes to the kingdom, comes to the evidence of God's presence. Is very, very practical. Are the hungry fed? Are the naked clothed? Are the unhoused housed? Are the prisoners visited? Are the sick prayed for? Practical. You don't need a degree to do those things. You don't have to be particularly overly prepared, other than the belief that God has sent you to do that, sent us to do that. And I want to focus on these last three verses of this passage. I think they're very profound and also pretty challenging. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, a lot of sermons have been preached on this passage. There are posters, there are all kinds of tchotchkes, that we can have around our homes that reflect some part of these words. And the fact that Jesus wraps up this extended kind of conversation about, are you the one, or do we ask for another? Here he reflects on people's opposition to both of them, to Jesus and to John. John, as he says, John came neither eating nor drinking. He doesn't feast with people. He doesn't partake of alcohol. And they say he has a demon. Well, Jesus comes and eats with tax collectors and sinners, and apparently imbibes in alcohol. He's a glutton and a drunkard. It's like, you can't win, right? You can't win. Their opposition comes first, and they're just looking for reasons. But in the midst of all that conversation about, John, is Jesus the one, and why don't you accept either of us? He closes with these just profoundly kind of practical words. Come to me, all you are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Now, as I said, a lot of messages have been preached on this. Jesus doesn't say there isn't a yoke. He says his yoke is easy and they're not burdens. Well, he has a burden, but the burden is light. And there's all kinds of, I've heard all kinds of sermons wrestling with, a worldly yoke versus Jesus' yoke. And what is a yoke anyway? I'm a city boy, that yokes were generally for two animals. And so Jesus' yoke is easy because we share it with Jesus. But in practical terms, I want to ask, because, we're in this green season of Pentecost and we're talking about how can we best be disciples of Jesus. And so I want to take a couple of minutes here and talk about what does it mean to be a part of Jesus' task of carrying burdens. And then we'll talk a little bit about what we do, you know, with our own burdens. But as the body of Christ in the world, which I think is bigger than church, church is an institution, I think wider than that is this identification that Jesus is the head of his body and all of his children, all his brothers and sisters, his siblings in his name, are part of that body. And Paul uses that kind of body language as well. And so as Jesus' body in the world, above and beyond institution, I think there are people part of the body of Christ who aren't in an organized, building and an organized service and an organized church. But it, just in practical terms, people to people, if we're the body of Christ, if we, the children of God, are the body of Christ in the world, how do we help people carry their burden? And I think it's simpler maybe than we think. The first step of that, I think, is to recognize that when we meet somebody, we don't know their story at all. We think we do. Even loved ones, even people that we care deeply about, unless we've kind of lived their life, we don't know their whole story. Let alone people that we just encounter. And the best thing I think we can do is to assume the best, and assume that we don't know their whole story. What that does, I think, is helps us in these encounters. Not to be reactive and not to be overly critical or over judgmental, because it's pretty easy. Somebody's trips our trigger, and boy, we can be right at it. And but if we assume I don't know their whole story, but I'm going to believe that between the two of us here, in that empty space, is the presence of God, and God has a purpose for our being, our encountering with, just like God has a purpose for you being in church. This is not an accident. So what does God have prepared for you, and have you come prepared to be kind of open and to receive it? In the same way, if we choose to seek God in every situation, then we can just, we can kind of relax, right? And what's, and to be curious. That great line out of the show, Ted Lasso, about a quote he had saw from Walt Whitman, the writer, that says, be curious and not judgmental. Great advice, that we be curious about the people that we encounter. And secondly, that we don't want to assume we know what their burdens are. And the secret there then, of course, is to listen. There's something I note, and I don't know if this is an Alberta thing. You can tell me when we see each other again. But this starting a response before we've heard a full statement. It's something I work at doing, listening and not responding. But you can kind of see in people's eyes, right? You're talking to them, and you're a sentence or two away from completing your thought, and already you can see in their eyes that kind of impatience. Stop talking, because I have a great response. Even though they don't know the whole of what you're saying. And the reality is in human interactions that we people often save the best, or should I say the worst, for last. That the last thing we say is sometimes the most important. If we don't let people finish thoughts, we miss that. And so we offer suggestions. We try to, kind of mansplain, which I do that a lot. But we try to explain their experience to them rather than being curious. And when they get done talking and we haven't spoken yet, the first thing out of our mouth, sometimes the best thing, usually the best thing, is a question to help them to continue to share. Because more often than not, I think the greatest burdens that we bear is that we're just not feeling listened to. And sometimes we can put some of that on ourselves, that we don't, you know, we don't run the risk of sharing ourselves. And but as receivers, you know, if we listen more and ask more questions, it's amazing how many burdens, you know, we can lighten for people. So kind of assume we don't know everybody's story. Listen, ask questions. You know, the third thing is that it sometimes is the most challenging of all, and that's being present. Really being invested in the moment. We assume we don't know this whole person's story, so then we get curious. We choose to be curious and choose to hear from them and then hear more from them. Trusting that our being there and our being patient can be such a huge gift. You know, in that way, and I struggle a bit with this kind of shared yoke kind of image. One, because I'm a city boy. I don't know, you know, I'm not going to speak eloquently about agricultural imagery because I don't know what I'm talking about. But I do think that the part of that image that's helpful is that being present, listening, being patient, being curious, assuming that we don't know everything about this person, that that not so much the yoke connecting us, because there's a kind of, there's a kind of involuntariness to that, that we're both tied into this yoke. Rather than arm around the shoulder, or even just proximity, just being near somebody, can be such a, you know, such a huge gift, and we take that journey together. And we offer what we can. I guess that would be the fourth thing, the last thing. We offer what we can. What can we offer? Well, we can offer being present. We can offer prayer. And we ask that question, is it okay if I pray for you? Would it be okay if I prayed for you right now? And keep it simple. Sometimes I think when we pray for people, it's easy to get into this thing where we pray about people. Where when we pray for someone, we use what we've been curious about, what they've shared with us, and we name those things. And we leave it to God, because God really knows what we're doing in prayer. It's kind of standing in this gap this person feels between them and God that has led to this, whatever this burden is. And we volunteer to stand in the midst there and say, you know what? I can appreciate that you don't feel close to God, but I'll stand in that. I'll stand in that gap with you. So prayer, if we're able, you know, other resources, you know, to meet those, you know, meet whatever the needs are. Follow up is sometimes a gift, you know, waiting a few days and calling and say, hey, you know, I really appreciated your willingness to share with me. How is that situation going? How are you feeling? And again, be curious, right? Listen, ask questions, you know, be available, be present for that person. Finally, I guess in closing, the toughest part, and maybe this could be kind of a whole message, but the other part is being part of our ability to carry burdens for others is our willingness to have our burdens carried. The vulnerability that we live by kind of invites vulnerability from other people. If we're not vulnerable, people are, I think, can sense that. And, you know, I don't know if I trust you. And part of that is not kind of, I know how you feel. I know what you're going through. Eek. Yeah. Try not to say that. Questions, right? Ask questions. But also when people, when we're carrying some kind of burden and people ask us, right, that we're willing to share. And when they ask us questions, that we're willing to answer. And when they're trying to be present, that we let them be present. as much as we are able. We all have our stuff, right? That stuff that nobody else knows but us. And so ultimately, it's really about this kind of community of the, I want to say the sensitive, because that feels kind of triggering. But the community of the trusting, that part of being community is listening to one another and as people share and allowing others to hear us when we share as well. So, chapter 11 is interesting. I encourage you to take a kind of a longer look at that, but I just really wanted to focus on this notion of not only God carrying our burdens, but how can we, as the body of Christ, be burden, carriers for others. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we ask that you would give us the gifts we need to be good companions for others who are carrying burdens, that we would assume our own ignorance, that we don't know, even people close to us, we don't know everything, and the best thing we can do is to listen and to ask and to listen some more, and to be vulnerable enough to be present and without offering answers, but to just be present, because sometimes that can be such a gift. And then certainly to offer what we can, whether that be prayer, resources, or again, just being around, following up, showing that we're concerned. And we ask that you would help us be trusting of the other parts of your body that will offer encouragement to us, ask us questions, seek to be present with us, that your community, that this body of yours would function and function healthily. Thank you for times that you've enabled us to carry burdens for others, and thank you for those who have carried ours. In Jesus' name, amen.